Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner, too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
They tell me it's opening day, or at least it was opening day in baseball. There's Big Red holding the big trophy, getting ready to throw out the first pitch at the Royals game. Both the Royals and the Chiefs making a different kind of pitch to the local citizenry. This has to be good for the vote that's coming on Tuesday. There he is, not on the mound, but that's okay. He's 65 or 66, and he makes a nice throw there to get things started. George Brett! George Brett! I think George Brett's from West Virginia. He's either from West Virginia or he lived in West Virginia at one point. My searing memory of George Brett is the time that they called him out, the pine tar, and he lost his mind. I'm going to try not to lose my mind over the course of the next 2 hours. Try not to lose yours along with me. Shereen Williams is ill today. She was going to try to do the show. Once I became fully aware of her symptoms, now, the devil on the left shoulder thought we could end up having a pretty viral moment. The angel on the right shoulder didn't want to subject Shereen to the potential of hundreds of thousands of views of what might happen to her while on the air if she had done the show. So, get ready. You get your chance now. If you want to go, if you want to leave, if you want to do something else for the next 2 hours, other than listen to me with the old school PFT Live, new school PFT PM, Shereen's all concerned that she, you know, is leaving me hanging. It's like, I do PFT PM and talk for at least an hour, and I got a piece of paper with five words on it. I think I can get through this, especially since we got more than five words ready for the next couple of hours here. Friday morning, Good Friday edition. Let's make it a great Friday on Peacock, Sirius XM 85, Sky Sports Action. If they'll have the show today, maybe they won't. And also, wherever you get your podcasts. George Brett, born in Glendale, West Virginia. Glendale is very close to where I grew up, just down the road. Lady Gaga's grandma, I think, still lives. Mother or grandma still lives in Glendale. She had some sort of hip surgery a few years ago and had it at a hospital in my hometown. Useless facts that you can or can't, depending upon your inclination, share with others, if so inclined. Okay, so let's see what else we had. Any aftermath of that first pitch? Patrick Mahomes, anyone know if Coach Reed threw a strike? Reed was wearing the Royals jersey, and as I mentioned, the big vote is coming up on April the 2nd. With both teams making it clear, if they don't get what they want, extension of a local sales tax that would fund a new stadium for the Royals, a renovated stadium for the Chiefs, if they don't get what they want, all options are on the table when their leases expire later this decade. 2031 is when they could leave. And the president of the Chiefs, Mark Donovan, has already said one of the options is to leave Kansas City. Now, there are some folks who would say, well, that doesn't mean they're leaving Kansas City. They could relocate to another area. Well, but the Chiefs, as we know them at Arrowhead Stadium, that's it. It's over. They'd be gone. They would relocate to a new stadium in the area or wherever they want to go. All comes down to whether or not the taxpayers are inclined to subsidize something that more and more people nowadays think that the multi-billionaires that own these sports teams can afford for themselves. Speaking of multi-billionaires, so I had a feeling this was going to get a little ugly, a little awkward, a little dicey for NFL Network. And let me just start here, because I think a lot of people don't understand that NFL Network is owned by the National Football League. They don't license the name. SiriusXM NFL Radio has been around for 18 years, 20 years. They license that to Sirius. The NFL doesn't own the channel. The NFL doesn't operate the channel. They just give the NFL name for a fee to Sirius so they can have an exclusive official NFL radio station. Now, I assume that if anyone on SiriusXM NFL radio says something the NFL really doesn't like, Sirius hears about it. I digress just a little bit, just a little bit. NFL Network and NFL.com owned and operated by the National Football League. The NFL isn't some separate entity from the teams. That's the other misconception. You got the 32 teams and you got the NFL. The NFL is the 32 teams. The 32 teams own the NFL. The 32 owners, well, 31 plus the Packers shareholders who don't really own anything, own the NFL. So NFL Network, ipso facto, is owned by the owners. So when you have something happen at NFL Network that reflects poorly on one of the owners, one of the owners partially owns, equally with the other teams, the other owners, NFL Network. And that's why you rarely have an NFL Network controversy. And that's one of my big criticisms, frankly, of this entire concept of leagues and teams owning their own media. You're working for the entity you ultimately cover. There are certain things you can't say, certain things you won't say. There have been former NFL Network employees who have acknowledged that after they leave NFL Network. There's an inherent conflict of interest. I've got zero journalistic education. All my training is on the job, and most of it is trial and error, with more error than trial. But one thing I have learned, it's not a good idea to take a paycheck from the entity you cover. And I get a lot of blowback when I point that out, because the people who work for NFL Network, they're caught in that reality. And they don't like it when people point it out. They've suspended disbelief like you do when you go to a movie, right? They've accepted this is how it is, and they just don't pay attention to it. And they don't want anybody else mentioning it. That's one of the areas of criticism I get when I bring it up. And the other area is from people who are also in this industry who like the fact that there are other jobs out there that either they can pursue or others that they would be competing with for other jobs already have. Like, it's good to have more jobs in this space. Why are you saying these things? And over the years, I have had that conversation with people. Why are you bringing this up? These are jobs that are available to people who do what we do. Okay, fine. You're still working for the entity you cover. So that's my preamble as to why this whole thing caught me as interesting from the moment that I first caught wind of it. Colleen Wolf, who seems like a very nice person, very competent host, successful at NFL Network, was on the Around the NFL podcast. Our old pal Greg Rosenthal, part of that podcast, although he wasn't on the episode that generated the clip that created the issue this week. She deviated into something she had heard from a very reliable source at the league meetings in Orlando, that there was a very heated conversation between Jets owner Woody Johnson and Jets coach Robert Saleh. And when I saw that clip, like, at first I clicked on it because I thought, well, this is different to have someone from NFL Network saying anything that would fall into the category of rumor mongering, especially as it relates to an owner of a team, because, again, that owner owns in equal measure NFL Network. third rail. Don't do it. Don't even get close to it. You got plenty of stuff you can talk about to fill your time. Don't say anything about the people who own this place. And it's easier for me. Like, what am I going to say about Comcast? Other than to, like, have a little fun from time to time. But we don't even do that. I stay away from that. I don't cover Comcast. See, that's the difference. People are like, oh, we all have our issues. We all have our things that we can and can't say. I wasn't hired to cover Comcast and NBC. I'm not on the NBC beat working for NBC. That's where it becomes problematic. Anyway, she starts down this path of very heated conversation between Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson. And it was presented in kind of a funny, snarky, gossipy way, game showy. And as I was watching, I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well. They're going to go through some things here at NFL Network because the Jets aren't going to appreciate this. So, as I learned the hard way on Wednesday night when I posted an item at PFT that was mainly a story about the fact that the folks at NFL Network who usually understand there are guardrails that are fairly tight that they need to confine their content to, that we had somebody deviate from that. That's the story. And yes, secondary to that, the claim that there was a very heated conversation between Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh. And there's pressure there. There's tension there. From the outside, is that a shock that there'd be any sort of potential dysfunction? First of all, under Woody Johnson's stewardship, the Jets have been traditionally one of the most dysfunctional teams in the NFL. If I was a top draft pick, if the Jets had one of the top three picks this year and they were eyeballing me as a quarterback, I would say, no, thank you. Not interested. Not playing for you. No way. No how. Now, see, I can say that because Woody Johnson, as far as I know, doesn't own 1/32nd of Comcast through his acquisition of stock over the year, but I could be wrong. Regardless, I don't have that same carburetor plate, restrictor plate. Is that what they call it? Restrictor plate, I should know that. We have NASCAR. Restrictor plate, I don't have that on me. When you work for NFL Network, it's just implied, or at least it should be. So, I know the Jets weren't happy because I heard from the Jets based upon my story. And it's like, I didn't say it. To me, I'm supposed to ignore it? You've got somebody at NFL Network who is saying the thing that no one from NFL Network has ever said in 20 plus years of its existence, and I'm supposed to ignore it? Well, it's not true. I don't care if it's not true. I mean, I'm not saying it is true. I'm saying they said it. And it's the fact that they said it that became noteworthy. Now, I do care fundamentally as to whether or not any facts that are alleged at PFT are true. And that became the other tributary of this river. The idea that you had some folks in the media who cover the Jets who have not the same conflict, but similar. It's a similar conflict of interest. Anybody that covers a team, there's a symbiosis there. You need access. You need them to cooperate with you. There are certain things you'll hold your nose and push as a favor to the team. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pick on Connor Hughes of SNY. This is the reality of being a beat writer. I've learned that over the years from getting to know people who cover these teams. It's part of the gig, just like working for NFL Network. Hey, part of the gig, we got to watch what we say about owners and the league office. If you're covering a team, there's a certain give and take there. So Connor Hughes on Wednesday night, after this all hits the fan, claims that he was at the Monday night party that they had, the reception, didn't see anything amiss. Well, he didn't listen to the whole clip, or the Jets hadn't listened to the whole clip, because initially Colleen Wolfe says Monday night, then she amends it later in the segment to it was Sunday night, not Monday night. So, yeah, there was nothing to see Monday night. The show happened on Sunday night, if it happened. So, as of yesterday morning, I knew the Jets were upset. And I don't think I'm saying anything I'm not authorized to say. I'm not citing any sources. I know, as of yesterday morning, they weren't happy. And I know that I was having to say, I didn't report it. Well, it's not true. I didn't report it. The story is it was NFL Network that said something, and the fact that the Jets insist it didn't happen makes it even more significant. It's one thing for someone from NFL Network to say something that is accurate, that goes against the interests of those who own and operate NFL Network. It's another thing if they're out there saying things that aren't true. And that's the indication that we got. Because I was waiting for a statement. I said to the Jets, hey, you want to go on the record? I don't like to traffic in off the record background stuff when it's self-serving to the person who's telling me. You got something to tell me that supports your position on this matter? I need it to be on the record. I need you to say this is false. I need you to say this is not accurate. And if you're so inclined, I need you to say this is irresponsible reporting. Of course, I never would have expected a statement from the Jets to say that. But here we are. The post on X from Woody Johnson that landed out of the blue yesterday afternoon. Calling out the media outlet he owns, along with his other NFL ownership partners. All this nonsense about a heated argument between Coach Saleh and me at the league meetings is absolutely false. It is yet another irresponsible report from NFL Network. Please disregard. It's like an old Western Union telegram. Please disregard. Stop. Another irresponsible network report. Stop. Absolutely false. Stop. Carry on. Stop. Over. Over. So anyway, put that back up. It is yet another irresponsible report from NFL Network. NFL Network has no history of irresponsible reporting because NFL Network has no history of controversial reporting. The people who work for NFL Network know that if they deviate from the very tight lines within which they must remain, they're going to be in trouble. This is the first time I asked the PFT writers collectively via text yesterday, is there another time there's been an irresponsible or any controversial NFL Network report that you can remember? I asked people who work for NFL Network that I know. Was there ever another controversy that you're aware of? I'm not aware of any. If any of you out there who are listening or watching this morning are aware of any past irresponsible reporting from NFL Network, please feel free to tweet it at me or post it at me, I guess. I'm trying to be, you know, technically accurate with the name of the hellscape where we now reside. That's a different issue altogether. I might have time for it today since I got to fill 2 hours. Topic, segment 5, the hellscape that Twitter has become over the past year. Probably not. So anyway, that was what Woody Johnson had to say on the matter. And again, I'm still trying to figure out what other irresponsible reporting NFL Network has done. But see, this is what happens in this day and age. And this isn't just confined to Woody Johnson. This is the new playbook that loosely emerged, oh, I don't know, in June of 2015. When anything that anyone says in the media you don't like, instead of meeting it on the merits, you just say it's all lies. It's fake news. It's made up. It's another irresponsible report from a media outlet that has no history of irresponsible reporting because they can't. They're going to get in trouble if they do. So please disregard Woody Johnson telling you to please disregard. If anything, the way the Jets, and I know I'm going to go through some stuff this morning, not the stuff that Shereen Williams is going through, different topic again, but the way the Jets have handled this, frankly, makes me think it's true. I don't know. But this hasn't been a very convincing reaction. The way they've scrambled the Jets, no pun intended, to deal with this, although not a bad one if I had intended. If I did intend it, it's not a bad one. It's not a full-blown dad joke groaner, but it's close. But the way they've handled it makes me think, thou doth protest too much and in a very awkward, clumsy way. Now, that set the stage for the inevitable retraction from Colleen Wolfe. The full apology, along with a retraction of anything remotely suggesting that there was a heated conversation between Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh. Well, we eventually got an apology, but in her apology, there is no retraction. I don't know if we have the graphic, but, and if we don't, if somebody could copy and paste the text of it from the PFT item and put it in the document, I'll read it. It merits careful consideration. There's an apology for creating an unnecessary distraction. First of all, I don't know of any necessary distractions. It's a little redundant. But hey, I got no problem with somebody who's engaging in a cleanup on aisle five. Here's the full post from Colleen Wolfe, which she was wise, whether she was told to do it, decided to do it, she was wise to do it because the guy who partially owns the operation isn't all that happy right now. Regarding my comments surrounding the Jets on the Around the NFL podcast, no, I was not at the annual meeting. And yes, I was told of the exchange between head coach Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson by someone in attendance. Others on site Sunday night have since reached out and described the interaction differently. My intent wasn't to break news. I leave that to the insiders. My sincerest apologies to the Jets organization for the unnecessary distraction during such a critical part of the offseason, crucial part of the offseason. Sorry, misread the word. Same idea. I could have just passed over it and acted like I got it right, but I'm committed to accuracy here. Crucial part of the offseason. Okay, now, there's nothing in there that constitutes a retraction. There's nothing in there that could be regarded as Colleen Wolfe saying, I was wrong. She said, first words out of her mouth in the clip, very reliable source. She doesn't say in that post that her source is unreliable. She just said she has since been told by others in attendance. How is this worded? Described the interaction differently. Described it differently. So, you know how this goes. It happens all the time. You got multiple people that see the same thing. You get multiple stories. She's not saying that the story that made it onto the air at the Around the NFL podcast was false. She's just saying she's heard from others who described it differently. And I have a feeling, based upon some of the things I've heard, some of the people I've heard from over the past couple of days, she was told by people with the Jets who have a clear bias in putting out this fire that it didn't happen. She has not thrown her source under the bus. She has not outed her source. She has not retracted anything. She's just shared the perspective that she's heard from others who viewed the interaction differently, because if those people are from the New York Jets, they have a clear incentive to do so. Again, it feeds my suspicion that maybe there is something to it. And the fact that NFL Network, owned and operated by all owners, including Woody Johnson, did not make a full retraction, an about-face, a Boston Herald. Remember Spygate 2? The controversy over whether or not the former Patriots employee had videotaped the Rams' final walkthrough practice before Super Bowl 36. That landed just before Super Bowl 42, when the Patriots were trying to go 19-0 that Friday. This thing landed out of nowhere. The Boston Herald reported it. They eventually did a full page. Basically, we screwed up. They retracted the whole thing. It's all wrong. That didn't happen here. Hasn't been retracted and probably won't be retracted, because I have a feeling, and I don't know this, and I know people get uncomfortable when we speculate on who people's sources are, but I don't think it's a stretch to believe that somebody who works at NFL Network, who has colleagues and friends at NFL Network, would have a very reliable source who works for NFL Network or the NFL, who saw the interaction, shared it with her, and then when it all hits the fan, and look, it's very easy. Whoever was tasked with cleaning this mess up in management and NFL Network, who did you talk to? Who told you this? We're not going to say this on the air, Colleen, but you need to tell us who told you. Because we need to ask this person, we need to find out whether or not this is true. And so she gives the name. Why wouldn't you at that point? You're in trouble. And you're not saying it publicly. This is all an internal matter. So you give the name. They get that person on the phone. What did you see? And that person says what they saw. And they go, well, it sounds like a very heated conversation to me. We're probably not going to retract this. So anyway, what a shock. The Jets might not be the most tightly run ship in the NFL. Who would have dreamed of all the teams in the NFL that the New York Jets, under the stewardship of Woody Johnson, I'm not casting blame directly at anybody who works for him. This is one of the realities that every fan of every team has to deal with. You are stuck with your owner until he sells the team or dies. I'm sorry, I don't know that. I don't want that to sound crass, but it's true. You are stuck. The Commanders fans were stuck with Daniel Snyder until he sold the team or died. And then you're stuck with whoever ends up with it next. This is what I love / hate about this entire business model. Multi-billion dollar businesses that are run like family-owned food trucks, mom-and-pop stores. And if you have enough money, you can buy one. Do you know anything about football? Doesn't matter. Are you going to be a good steward for the franchise? Doesn't matter. Are you going to keep the team where it currently is? Doesn't matter. I got the big bag of cash, and I got the biggest bag of cash, and there aren't many people around who even have big enough bags of cash to even make an offer. I'm going to buy the team, and I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. That's how it goes. You can't fire the owner, as Jed York once said. We may be talking about Jed York and his quarterback, Brock Purdy, later in the program. From now, I want to pivot to something else.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And I don't want to discourage people from sending me emails. I also don't want to encourage a flood of emails. I'm trying to find the right sweet spot. As I said not that long ago, it's not a message room. It's not a message board, chat room. Either way, this isn't a social media outlet, my personal inbox. If you got something to tell me that is about me, I don't need complaints about other co-hosts. I don't need feedback about other co-hosts unless it's positive and you want me to pass it along. This isn't the complaint department. Stay away, Ziggy. This or little pigs, stay away with the complaints unless it's about something I said or did. Then I want to hear it. I want to have a chance to self-correct myself, as Chris would say. And if you have ideas, that's great. It's not a pen pal. Like if you've sent me 100 emails and I haven't responded to any of them, you know, there's a point where maybe you should, you know, not clutter up the email inbox with others who have good ideas. And I saw that because I got a great idea from a reader today who was articulating the various potential unintended consequences of the new kickoff. And one thing resonated with me. And this gets back to one of the points that we raised last week when we got the final proposal and the penalty enforcement came into view. And here's the quick summary. For any penalty that happens on the touchdown, That will be enforced on the try. You used to have your option between the try and the kick. That gets enforced on the try. And the concern is fourth and goal at the five, open season on the quarterback, and the quarterback knows it because, okay, it's going to be half the distance on the try. So if you go for two, you're going from the one instead of the two. What, that doesn't really matter. And if you're going to kick from the 15, now you're kicking from the 7.5. Doesn't really matter, although maybe it does based upon the point I'm going to get to. Penalty on the try, and let's just focus on penalty on the defense. All that does is it moves the spot where the ball will be kicked in this new XFL configuration. All the other stuff, if we've got the graphic handy, the setup zone, the landing zone, where the kicking team's players are, the other 10, see them there all lined up at the 40? If you have a penalty on the defense on the try, the only thing that moves is the little brown football. So if it's a 5-yard penalty, you move it to the 40. Everybody else is still where they are, and the landing zone is still the goal line to the 20. Let's say you get a 15-yard penalty. You move it to the 50. You still have to drop the kick between the 20 and the goal line, and hang time doesn't matter because nothing happens until the receiving team's return specialist catches the ball, then everybody goes. So, and this was the point I raised with somebody at the league, and I was told last week that's probably going to get tweaked before we finalize it, and guess what? It was not. Was not tweaked. That's the rule. If there's a penalty on the defense during the try, we're just going to see that little brown dot move. 5 yards or 15 yards. Everybody else is the same. The play's the same. It's the same play. And my reaction was, well, why would you even accept it? You've got a kicker who has practiced kicking from the 35 and putting the ball wherever it's supposed to go in that 20-yard landing zone. Why are you going to make it shorter when these guys have the leg to do it? You're going to take something off of them. Now, you've been hitting the 3-wood all the time. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to swap it out for a 7-iron? No. So, what happens on the try now? And specifically, let's focus on the 1-point kick and what else precedes a kickoff. What other scoring play is there that results in a kickoff? The field goal. Okay. So, it could be open season on kickers now. That's a potential unintended consequence. As these coaches are sitting around trying to brainstorm all the different ways they can use this new reality to their advantage. That is the Bill Belichick model. Any and all ideas. Let's come up with them. How can we take the rules and use them to our own personal advantage to achieve the goal, the ultimate goal of scoring more points than the other team one game at a time? And I'm kind of sounding this out. I haven't written it yet at PFT. I just saw the email just before I got the text from Shireen about her current condition, which caused us to kind of focus on other things. But think this through with me. If you know that, and let's just focus on the PAT, because it becomes a little riskier with the field goal. But with the PAT, you send the guy around the edge. If he takes out the kicker accidentally after the kick is away, personal foul, roughing the kicker, 15 yards, assessed on the kickoff, you move the little brown dot 15 yards and nothing else changes. Nothing changes. There's no consequence whatsoever, unless you're going to do an onside kick, which happens very rarely now. because you're going to have better field position if you somehow pull the needle out of the haystack and recover the onside kick. That's the only advantage. You just move that little dot to the 50 and everything else is the same. There is no downside whatsoever to sending your guys around the edge with the mission of hitting the kicker as hard as you can. Is it wrong? Yes. Is it a deliberate violation of the rules? Yes. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Trying to win games, aren't you? This is why I don't like the fact that they forced this thing through. See, whatever Roger wants, Roger gets. He wanted this through. Oh, man, I'm going to go through all sorts of things after the show today. Still not what Shireen's going through. Not yet, at least. They wanted this. They wanted it now. They don't want to wait until May. They want it now. And ostensibly the reason was, well, if we're going to have this new rule, we've got to sign players like Cordarrelle Patterson. Boom, lands in Pittsburgh within hours, literally, after they pass this thing. We got to get our draft boards reconfigured. We've been talking about that. All of a sudden, great return specialists are more valuable. The body type that you're looking for to put on that 10-man line, somebody who's going to shoot the gap and get to the return specialist before he finds an opening and he's gone because all 10 guys are in the same spot. They can't stagger. They're going to have to retreat. You got to run back and then refocus, and good luck with that when you're trying to chase Cordarrelle Patterson or Tyreek Hill. We're talking about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle back deep for the Miami Dolphins. So they wanted to get this through. They got it through. And now they're stuck with it for a year. Unless they tweak it in May. Unless they identify potentially significant unintended consequences. And maybe that's how they justified it. Let's just get this new kickoff through and we'll tinker with it later. Well, they better get their tinkering done in May, because they don't like to change the rules once a season starts. You don't want to disrupt the integrity of the season. There have been issues in the past, and I wish I could remember exactly what they were, where there's something that they understand must change, but you can't change it now because you've already played games with that rule that we want to change. And there's been a game that's been affected by that rule, which is why we want to change it. But we've already had one game affected by it. We can't change the rules midstream. So whenever week one begins, and we know it will be Thursday night, September 5 in Kansas City, when they start with this new XFL kickoff, that's it. The roller coaster is out of the station. The ride has started, and it's not stopping until the Super Bowl. And the more I think about this, you know, they're going to be counting on the goodwill of the coaches. And they may huff and puff if we have any reason to believe there's deliberate effort to injure the kicker, deliberate effort to violate the rules as it relates to roughing the kicker. But it's just as simple as we're going to go for the block more aggressively now. It's not we're trying to hurt the kicker. There's a line there. We're not trying to hurt the kicker. We're trying to get to the ball. We're trying to keep 1 point from going on the board. And if it gets in the kicker's head a little bit, maybe we don't have to block it. Maybe the kicker's too busy looking left and right at what's coming instead of looking at the spot where the ball just appears once the kicker begins his approach to the spot where he kicks it. And a similar concept applies with the field goal. The problem is, with the field goal, if you miss it, you get another shot. And I guess in theory that also applies with the PAT, but, you know, we see longer and longer field goals all the time now. Am I going to go all out on a 52-yard field goal when I know that if the guy makes it, it doesn't change the kickoff after the fact? If he misses it, he's going to get another try. But you know what? If you apply a clean legal hit to the kicker that happens to be a little bit too late and the kicker can't kick right away, oh, well, the 52-yarder became a 37-yarder, but the backup kicker can't make a 37-yarder. And extrapolate that to hitting the kicker legally and cleanly, but late after the PAT. Now you got to kick. Who's going to kick? Who else on the team can put the ball into the landing zone? Because if it's short, the other team gets it at the 40. You better get it right. If that ball hits anything before the 20, if it lands before the 20, if it bounces before the 20, The other team gets it at the 40. And if the guy puts too much on it and goes into the end zone, they get it at the 30. So this is why I thought it was too much to digest in 2 days of meetings. They send out the written proposals ahead of time every year. This was by far the longest, most complicated proposal I'd seen, and they're very proud of it, and I get it. They got some of the special teams coaches making the rounds, doing the shows. They want to get one of them on here, and that's fine. We may do it. And I'm definitely interested. I'm far more interested this morning than I was yesterday because I want to ask, how do we account for this now? This very strong temptation to go, remember the old Elmer Fudd, wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season. It's kicker season. This season. This season is kicker season, unless they change the rule. And I don't know what they change it to, other than the penalty will be enforced after the kickoff. That the receiving team will lose 15 yards wherever the next drive begins. If it's going to begin at the 30, nope, it starts at the 15. 40, nope, it starts at the 25. But, you know, if the receiving team returns it for a touchdown, what do? Do you take it off the board and put it on the 15? See, this is why. For an organization that has been so historically concerned with unintended consequences that they're paralyzed at times when it comes to a simple rule, this thing is rife with unintended consequences. I mean, this is just one that I thought of with a little nudge from a pretty smart viewer/reader who put the idea in my head. And it's like, you know what? That's a damn good idea. I wish I'd have thought of that. I didn't, but I ain't too proud to borrow it, steal it. I'm not stealing it, though, if I'm giving the person credit. Although I haven't given the person credit by name. I will. I don't have it in front of me. It's a lot harder to check the outline and see what else might be going on in the world of football when I'm the one that's doing all the talking. We're going to take a break. We may have Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, joining us in hour number two. I've got to nail that down with him. Could be in the final half hour of the program. We'll talk to him about what the Minnesota Vikings are up to. When we return, there have been some gambling controversies over the past week or so. There hasn't really been a spot for me to share some of my thoughts here. I've had people asking me to do that. I'll do that next on this Friday morning edition of Pro Football Talk Live.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.